So the power of words has been very something much I've been thinking about in the past year. And there's several aspects I could have chosen to talk about this morning, but I've chosen to focus on the power of words in our spiritual growth. Because as a church, that's where we are, I suppose, at the moment. We're growing, we're changing, we're developing gifts to work as a whole body. And I'm going to start with the Bible reading. Would you all like to join me in reading this? It's from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 12. For this reason, since the day we heard you, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives, so that we can be worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, being strengthened with all power to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance, patience, and giving you joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So, I picked out some main points. So when we've got someone praying for us, we grow. If we are filled with the knowledge of God's ways, then that means we just naturally walk in God's will and communicate, displaying his love. If you've got wisdom and understanding that the spiritual spirit gives, we approach issues from a spiritual perspective. To live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way honours God. That takes commitment and dedication. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. If we're strengthened with the Holy Spirit, that's a significant source of strength, because that's the same Spirit that created this world that is working in us. To have great endurance and patience is not a natural human quality. To really endure things, then that takes an inner working of God's Spirit. So these are a list of the summary of the main points that I've picked out. So not stop praying for you, fill you with his wisdom. I'm just going to jump over that now. So this is our life. And in our life, we can choose what we have. What we put into our life, we've got choice over. We can let resentment seep in. We can let fear. We can let anxiety. But we have choice. And we have choice about whether we need to change things in our life to be more in alignment with God's ways. Because what we put into our lives determines what comes out, what we do, what we say. And we can use God's word and guidance as a filter system. We can let God's love wrap around our lives. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit and actually use that Spirit, God's Spirit, almost like a filter system to filter out the good things. So we only let in the good things. Sorry, I'm saying that wrong. So we can use God's Holy Spirit to filter out the bad things and only let the good things in. And if we focus on letting the good things in, we can cultivate a life that reflects God if we let in his wisdom, his strength, and walk in according to his will. And we can produce a life that reflects God's character with patience, endurance and vividness. probably about 6 months ago, maybe a bit more, I was drawn to this Bible passage in Ephesians. And it's one that Keith preached on a few weeks ago. And we've looked at Ephesians quite a bit in our church recently. But the part of this passage that was drawn to me was not a point Keith raised. But I was particularly drawn to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I've been praying that in this church we can be bonded in peace through the Holy Spirit. So would you like to join me in reading this passage? As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and Father of all, who is over and through all. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of his service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the full God. So taking a closer look at this passage, it's got some similar phrasings to the passage we just looked at. It urges us to live a life worthy of the calling, which is a similar phrasing. To be completely humble and gentle, and to be patient with one another in love. And then Keith picked out how many times it says one in this passage. We have one God. And this talks about the different roles, and we've talked about the different roles in our church, that we may be equipped to be built up until we all reach unity in the faith of knowledge of God and become mature. And I was thinking that rings bells for us. We can often think we've got there. We're good Christians, we were doing all their stuff. But there was almost a deeper question in my mind. How do we define matureness in Christ? And how do we know when we've reached that point of matureness to attain that full measure? And this just shows the summary points of that reading. And I've listed all the things that is one body, the one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We're different. We can be different individuals. We can have different opinions. We can do things differently. But we still have one God. We still worship the same God. And it's through that effort of keeping the unity to have all our differences, to express differences, and yet still walk in unity, in peace. For we have the same Father who is all, and through all, and in all. And I just wondered if this is guidance for our church. It's basic teaching in Paul's letter. So if we are equipped for the works of service, then we're going to operate in a better way. We're going to function better. So we can be built up as the body of Christ. We can reach unity in our faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and have this deep peace in our church that goes beyond surface issues, and we can become mature. And these, if you like, is the traditional roles and the gifts that are listed in the passage. And the gifts are in a different passage, but I haven't actually gone over this morning. But this is like the traditional gifts. But for me, over the years, I didn't fit this criteria. With my writing, I wanted to write meditations, but it didn't quite fit into church. And I just encourage you, if you're doing something different, then go for it and explore what God is doing, where he's leading you. So a few weeks ago, we had our deacons tell us that they're really operating at the full potential they can. There's a limit to what they can fit in their week. And they have skills to see our church grow that is beyond their capability. And for us, our church, to be sustainable, we need to have a bigger team. And there's like an end point that realistically they've got to, of how far they can extend their work. So at our last meeting, we were invited just to think about this. Think about our journey as a church, and we're now some through way that point before our AGM. And as I was thinking, we're on this journey. Are we reflecting on that journey still? As individuals, are we working towards a new something, raising up new gifting, new leaders? Going back to this model, we are individuals. And we're not all the same. We have, some of us are developing or have developed gifts towards a particular area. We have some recognised preachers and worship leaders and teachers and so on. And then some of us are at the beginning of our Christian life or less experienced and still in the middle. And that's absolutely fine. But we are all growing. So how would you describe your life? If someone asked you, what would you say? What would you say to someone to describe your life? And sometimes we can actually think on what we can't do. And the little bit of blue represents what we can do. And then there's a gap, what we can't do. And sometimes we need to actually look at what we can do. And look at how we can use our time, what we've got confidence for, what we've got relevant skills for. And yes, there is still that bit we don't feel able to, but we can do some things. And then I was thinking in my own journey, it's understanding your own growth, and maybe it is for some of you and others that aren't here in the church, that sometimes there's gradual growth that grows slowly. You're very sure about its growing and direction. And then sometimes there's quite sudden growth that happens, light bulb moments. And then sometimes you know where you're heading. You know exactly where you're going. But sometimes you don't. And it's like a path, a journey of exploration. And sometimes that journey takes time to grow, to go from left to right. Coming back to this picture. We need to take sometimes all those expectations away. Take everything away and start with a blank canvas and ask, what's our role in church? What can we do? Where's God leading us? What do we enjoy doing? How can we share our interests? How can we gain new skills? And what's God saying to you now? What's God asking of you? How is God asking you to respond? So rather than heading for a role, a sort of box expectation, I found it really helpful just to have an aim of where I'm going. And that aim has changed over time. It's got bigger, there's been new aims, and it's looking at what we can do. filling our gap with prayer rather than having this gap we're looking at, not thinking of it as a gap, but just as space. And it's almost God directs us. He opens the opportunities. He leads us. And are we receiving God's prompting? Are we ready to respond? Are we hearing God's voice to do new things? And this process of growing takes time, and it grows over time. And it's that God directing in that space that we can learn new things and go out of our comfort zone and contribute to what we're doing and to grow. And then we change, we're grown, we're no longer a beginner. And prayer, it's almost that point, that last bit sometimes, you've almost got there, you've grown, but actually that last gap, and there's sometimes sort of a confidence, a lack of confidence to finish, or other things get in the way. And sometimes we need to just to then focus on finishing that aim, finishing that process. And how much more can we grow? Can we encourage others by the stage we've nearly got there, at the beginning of the journey? And it's that God leading that finishes that gap. What's God saying to you now? How have other people responded to new growth, to new achievement? Have you got a new aim? Or are you looking for a new aim once you've finished your aim? And this is a picture that struck me really strongly quite a few weeks ago now. It was one Sunday morning and I talked about it. And Susan did ask me to send it to this word to deacons, and I haven't, but I will do. But this lightning strikes, to me, represents the Holy Spirit, the energy, God's energy. And it's almost as though those hands had reached out and got a hold of it. And I was really sort of feeling that we need to reach out and we need to take hold of God's energy, of God's Spirit. And to really hold on to that and to let God's Spirit to be conducted through us and to have that availability to be that channel for God to work through. And it's as though in all of this, looking at our church, it's not looking at what needs to be done. It's looking to God, to what he's asking us, how he's asking us to respond, what he's asking us to do as an individual and as a church. And someone asked me, since I've shared this picture, are the number of hands significant? And I didn't know. But having prayed about it and gone away and really prayed about it more, to me, it's not the number of hands that is. Lightning and energy kind of grows, it can expand. And to me, that might, in science, I'm sure Barry could explain this better than me, that might not always happen. But spiritual energy has got this rapport that when someone's full of God, it has this expanding, rubbing off nature. And to me, it's a lightning that's going to grow, can expand. And if it expands, then there's room on this circle for more people to put their hands, and for more people to reach out their hands and to hold on to God's energy, to let God's Spirit be conducted through them and to let God work through them. And just to feel God's strength in them. And I really sense that is what this picture is about. And it was on the Sunday morning, it pops up on my phone. I've got a little app that gives me a Bible verse a day with a picture. And I was thinking about church this morning, so I'm absolutely convinced it is a word for our church. So I've showed it again now as a reminder. And if you want to reach out and grab God's energy, then maybe you would like to read the next Bible passage. This is the first one that we read from Colossians, but I've made it into a prayer and I've personalised it so it becomes a prayer of asking God to work in our lives, to bless us. And if you want to see God work more in your life, then You can read it with me if you wish. So, Father God, help me to focus on all you in all situations I face. Fill me with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that your Holy Spirit gives, so that I may live a worthy life and please you, Father, in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and grow in the knowledge of you to be embedded deep within me. Father God, strengthen me with all your power according to your glorious might, so that I may have great endurance and patience. Help me to cultivate a joyful habit of giving thanks to you, my Father, who has enabled me to share the inheritance of your Holy Spirit in the kingdom of light. For you have rescued me from the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of your Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you.